Good afternoon. How's everybody today? You're good? You're good? I see some faces that are a little familiar to me. Some are not. As Reed had said, I've been coming up here for Brittany. How long have I been coming here? I know it's been over 10 years.
Was it 06?
06? Well, I should ask Richie, because Richie's the one that showed me around. When I first came up here, I think they still had the cannon in front of the gym. Anybody remember the little cannon that was in front of the gym? Raise your hand if you remember that.
Was it cannon?
Elena! Wow. Wow. I feel old. Okay, well, there used to be a cannon, and it used to be we played this night game, and there was a hive of bees inside the cannon. And my group thought that I hid the clue inside the cannon. And they went up there and like, oh, I know Jason, he would put it in the cannon, of course, stuck his hand in there. Needless to say, he must have got 10, 15 bee stings. It wasn't a good thing. I think that's the reason why they got rid of the cannon, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, so I've been here a long time. I am a father of four boys. You probably saw them or probably heard them down by the swimming pool. They are very loud. They're 9, 7, 6, and 4. I am from Philadelphia, a little church in Germantown. We stole Elena, who used to work here a couple years ago. So she comes and works at our church.
She works here.
Oh, sorry. She still works here. So that's a little bit about me. I am not only the pastor of this church, the Church of Atonement in Philadelphia, but I am an engineer who works for AT&T, where I help make sure that all the cell phones work in and around this area. Some of the staff here complained that there wasn't any coverage, so I worked for years to kind of get some coverage here for us. So if AT&T has coverage here, know that I am advocating for you. All right? I am advocating for you, because I said I cannot keep going up to one of my favorite places on earth and not have coverage, all right? I needed to be able to get and talk and see what's going on, all right? How many of you, this is your first year here? Raise your hand, all right? How many of you are second year? Third? Fourth? Fifth? Woo, six. Over 10. Between 7 and 10. Okay, I just wanted to see. All right, let's make a beginning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much for the opportunity to get in your word. We're asking, Lord, as we get into your word, that your word might get into us, that we might be changed by it, that, Lord, that we might come to know you more. We pray that your spirit might continue to transform our hearts and renovate us and make us into the image of your son. And we're begging all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. So today, I want to talk to you a little bit from a passage in Philippians. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to read starting in verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. This is what it says. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. I want to share with you from the subject today, authentic Christians. Authentic Christians. Authentic Christians are the real deal. I know you've been studying for real. Reed told me that this idea today we're going to be talking about, like, are you for real? You already talked about it, Jesus is for real, but are you for real? How many of you have ever played basketball in a competition, like on a team. Anybody play on a team? All right. How do you know that the basketball that you're using is authentic? How would you know that the basketball that you have is a genuine basketball? How would an NBA player know that the basketball that they have is authentic? Could I just go get any ball and just pick it up and say, like, yeah, we're going to play with this in the next NBA game that your team is, your favorite team is playing? Mine would be the Sixers. So how do you know? Well, what size should it be? About that big. What's the weight it should be? Okay, let's forget basketball. Okay, how many of you have like Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, any of those accounts? Anybody have any of that kind of stuff? So have you ever seen some of them that have like a star or a check or an emoji that says that they are a what? A what? They're verified, right? It's verifying what? That they're authentic, that they're genuine. Well, how do you get one of those? Have you checked my account? You see mine? You see my star? You see my check? Brittany's laughing. She's like, yeah, I've seen your account. You don't have one. Well, how do you know it's for real? How can you know? Well, here's my question to you. How then, if we can't tell if the basketballs that we play with, wait, has anyone played basketball? Maybe I got the wrong. Anyone ever played basketball in this room? Okay, everyone held a basketball. Okay. Has anyone ever seen one of these stars check marks on social media, right? You've seen it. Okay, all right. So here's my question. How then do you know whether or not you are an authentic Christian?
Check the label.
Check the label, okay. We can check the label. Yep, yeah. How do we know? I get in trouble for this all the time with my wife. I wanted to buy her a pocketbook, and I was just like, oh, well, I'm going to get you this nice, expensive pocketbook. It was like Coach or something like that. And I thought, whoa, Amazon is my friend. And I'm doing this, whatever. And then one day she's coming in the kitchen. I'm like, I got the gift. I'm all set. Yes. And then she's like, just, you know, there is some replicas out there of things like pocketbooks, in case you were thinking about getting me one for Christmas, that, you know, aren't for real. So don't think you can just go buy it on Amazon. Oh, no, I would never do that. Delete. How do we know what we see, touch, feel? How do we know our faith? How do you know that you are authentic? How would you know? What do you have to believe? What do you have to do to be authentic? I think the scriptures that we just read in Philippians gives us a clue about what it means to be an authentic Christian, about exactly what it means. And he talks about the gospel here. He says in verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Live in a way that is worthy of the gospel. And then he says a little bit later at the end of that same verse, I will know you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the what? What does it say at the end of verse 27? Of the gospel. Wait, I didn't hear you. What does it say at the end? Gospel, the faith of the gospel, okay? So here's some clues here. If you're authentic about being a Christian, if you are for real, you need to know the gospel. So let me ask you this, what's the gospel? All right, here we go. All right, now we're warming up. All right, the good news of Jesus. Yes. Anything else? All right, let's break that down. What does it mean? What is the good news of Jesus? What does that mean? Jesus saves sinners. Yes. He died on the cross. All right. What else? He rose again. Oh, now we're warming up. So he saved sinners. He died on the cross. He rose again. Did Jesus do anything else? Say again. He did very much. Yes. He did miracles. He did other things. Oh, I like where you're going with that. Hold that thought. Right? So he died on the cross. He saved sinners. What else did we say? He rose again. Thank you. I'm not going to forget that. I'm fired already. He rose again from the dead. He lived a perfect life. He came from heaven to earth. Right? Like, we probably use one of some of these songs that we just sang as clues, right? This is the gospel. Yes, all these things, right? The good news. That's the good news, that he came, he lived, he died, and he rose again for you and for me. And those who believe in him shall have eternal life. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Is that it? Does the gospel have anything else, any other things involved in it? Trick question. What? You want to say something? I thought you had a hand. Go ahead.
History of the Israelites.
Say again?
The history of the Israelites.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Basically the entire Old Testament is the story of this one people group God had designated to be his people.
Mm-hmm.
Who through their lineage comes Jesus.
Yes, yes. So what's your name? Daniel has given us the beginning of what these theologians and other people call like a meta-narrative, right? Like, this is more than just a couple books in the Bible. It's a bigger story about what's going on. But I want to challenge you today that the gospel has two components. It has a vertical component and a horizontal component. It looks like the cross. It has a vertical and a horizontal component. A book that I was reading called by a guy named Brian Laritz, he calls this the cross-shaped gospel. The vertical component is what we've been talking about, that Jesus died for you and me to reconcile our relationship back with the Lord. Because we are sinners. We broke that relationship because of our human race parents going all the way back to Adam and Eve, and that we need a relationship with Jesus in order for us to be one with the Lord, to have unity with God. That's the gospel. But there's a horizontal component of that. There are implications that come out of the gospel. What do you think those are? What do you think the horizontal components are? Any clues? What do you think is another aspect of the gospel? Yes? Evangelizing and sharing, right? Telling other people about Jesus. Loving our neighbors. We need to love our neighbors. When Jesus was questioned about whether or not about what's the greatest commandment in the law. This is what he said in Matthew 23. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Vertical. Have a relationship with Jesus. Have a relationship with the Father through Jesus. Nothing you've done on your own, through grace. He's given you this grace, this faith, in order for you to have this relationship. But then he says something else right after that. And second to it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The gospel is not just me and Jesus. The gospel has to do with how my relationship with Jesus impacts everything else in the world. How it impacts my relationships with my friends, my families, my neighbors, my work. Everything else should be changed because of what happened in the vertical relationship. There should be an impact on every other relationship and every other place I go and everywhere I am. Things should be different because you are there as a believer in Jesus. That's what it means. That's what it means to have this kind of gospel. So let's think this through. He says here at the end of verse 27, and I'm going to start there. He talks about gospel, about living out the gospel, living a life worthy of the gospel. But if we can't live a life worthy of the gospel unless we understand the faith of the gospel, that we have to strive together for the faith of the gospel. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. There are implications that come from believing in Jesus that should change everything. The kingdom of God is about how what the Lord is doing in you is changing everything else. How many of you have heard of the Lord's Prayer? Okay? And part of the Lord's Prayer is this. You pray, thy kingdom come, whatever comes after that. Anybody know? Thy will be done. Where? Wait. You're saying, Lord, I pray your kingdom comes in order that your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So if that's the case, that means it's got to be more than just what it is between me and the Lord. It's got to have an impact on everything else, that we want to see what happens in heaven happen here on earth. And our job as agents of God's kingdom, as citizens of the heavenly realm, is to come and to be those kinds of people in order that the kingdom might be advanced wherever you are. Authentic Christians are the kinds of Christians that not only have a relationship vertically, but have an impact horizontally. That's the kind of Christians that God is looking for. That's the for real Christians. I didn't make this up. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, right after he had gone into the wilderness and he had been tempted and he's about to start his ministry, he says this. Matthew says this about Jesus. He says, he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And here's that big word, this really, really, really big word that I have to get you to see. And it says, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. He proclaimed the gospel, but he also healed people. He talked about the kingdom, but he also had an impact on people's lives, on people's needs, on people's hearts. This is so important that Matthew repeats it again in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. The kingdom of God is not just God as king, but his kingship rule being played out among its citizens. Do you understand what I mean by that? That means that it's not just, oh, God's in charge. It's that we are playing by his rules. What's the most frustrating thing if you're ever playing a sport? Like, sometimes I get frustrated playing with my kids when we're playing basketball in our backyard, right? Because this is what happens. They want me to play by the rules, but they don't have to play by the rules. So if they're coming and I'm playing defense and I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, here they are. They got the ball. They're like, oh, forget this. And they're just going to just like, hey, let me just do what I want to do. And after a while, I'm just like, that's not how you play the game. How many of us are in the game of our life as Christians, saying, here I am playing this game, but we're like, the Lord is saying to us, that's not the rules of my game. You're not living the way I ask you to live. You're not doing the things I'm asking you to do. You are picking up the ball and going wherever you want, doing whatever you want, acting however you want, and that's not how my people ought to be. Daniel talked about the Old Testament. This is the story of Jesus. Starts way back in Genesis. And in that, he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. If you're my people, then we do things together. We do it as one. If you're for real, you're following what the Lord is calling you to do. Paul is saying that we have to fight for this kind of belief in the gospel. Not one that just says, oh, I love Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. I don't need church. I don't need fellowship. I don't need any of these things. Just me and Jesus. I don't care what you do over there. I don't care what you do over there. No, because if that was the case, none of us would have been saved. If Jesus came from heaven and earth and just lived his life, not impacting anybody else, we would be most to be pitied among men. Not just because the resurrection didn't happen. Because if that was the case, we would still be dead in our sins. Because Jesus said, no, I'm seeking you out. And as the Father has sent him, Jesus says, so I send you. He is sending you. The faith of the gospel requires an understanding that there is a what? A vertical component and a horizontal component. And every time you take a look at the cross, every time you look at the cross, I want you to think to yourself, yep, this is about me and Jesus and me loving my neighbors. You know how I convinced my church into thinking that this was a good thing for us not to meet corporately in worship when this whole coronavirus started? I said, you know what? I found out that as a church, I am an essential service. I didn't have to close. The health department had a phone call with all the clergy in Pennsylvania, and they told me, you are essential. You don't have to close. I would be wise that you close, but you don't have to close. So I had a decision to make. And I said, you know what? If we are going to love people, then that means that I have to close in order to demonstrate how much I love them. Because the last thing I want is someone to say, those darn Christians, you know how they are. They don't care about anyone else. In fact, that happened to me. I was at the church with my own kids. Elena was there at the church, and we were riding our bikes at the church. It was one of the perks that, hey, I got the keys. They can ride down to the gym, their bikes, and everything like that. I left my keys in the door, and this lady named Sarah came into my church and said, you do not belong here. I was like, excuse me? I'm the pastor. Are those your kids? And you know what I did. And we among friends. I looked at myself, and I looked at them, and I looked at myself like, we match. Yeah, they're my kids. They're mine. And if anyone has seen my kids, we have some friends who are visiting with us today, and they're the first time they've seen their kids, and they see me, and they're like, wow, you guys look all the same. Here is the thing. I had confidence all the more that we made the right decision because we were loving our neighbors because she was so concerned. She was so concerned that we were not supposed to be there during that time. Striving for the faith of the gospel, to be an authentic Christian, knows that the gospel has to be horizontal, meaning my relationship with Jesus, as well as, vertical, meaning my relationship with Jesus, and horizontal, meaning loving my neighbor. That is the utmost importance. In fact, the reason why Paul had written this letter is because he was in jail for being an authentic Christian. He had brought people who didn't look like him to the temple in Acts chapter 1, and then he got arrested because he was hanging out with people that he ought not to be hanging out with if he's a Jew. And they arrested him because of that. And therefore, he's writing this letter from prison because he said the gospel is more, has more implications. It's real because I am going to live it out. I'm going to strive for what is true about the gospel that it has implications that are far-reaching. And that's why he got arrested. We have to understand this completely. We have to work together for the gospel. That means we have to fight against things that are going to take us apart. So if we understand what the faith of the gospel is, now this should mean something now as we look at the beginning of this verse in chapter 1, verse 27. Now that you know what this gospel looks like, he says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of this gospel. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. The idea is that you have to be citizens of the gospel. You have to live this out. So how do you do that? You have to first stand firm in one spirit. That means your culture, the way you live, has to demonstrate this oneness that God is calling us to. That means that the way I am living out my life has to demonstrate my unity with Jesus. Now, right now, all of you are wearing all different kinds of shirts. Some of you have some shirts from older times. Some of you have some other matching shirts. But when Monday comes, I think the group comes in on Monday. Correct me if I'm wrong. Everybody's going to be wearing what? The same shirt. Is that right? We're all going to be wearing the same shirt. I used to tell my children all the time that just because I go into Best Buy and everybody is wearing the same shirt doesn't mean they all have the same attitude. Every time I go to McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts because they're wearing the same shirt doesn't mean I'm going to get the same kind of service. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is, it's not about the shirt you wear that's going to make the difference. It's about who you believe in and what this is all standing on, and that's Jesus that's going to change how you approach these things. To stand firm in one spirit means to say that I am going to operate knowing that Jesus is the cause by which all these things vertically and horizontally happen. Because I'm putting my faith and trust in him. Paul says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You are going to be serving here this summer. And people are going to be looking at you and watching you to see how are they different? How are they living? You have opportunities to impact people's lives by how you love your neighbor. I don't think there'll be many opportunities, I hope there are, for you to share the love of Jesus directly through evangelizing with guest groups. But I am absolutely positive that people can know the love of Jesus by what you're doing in your service this summer. I come from a guest group that's been coming here 10 years that for at least 5 or 6 of those years have averaged 8 to 10 baptisms of new believers 1 to 2 weeks after being here at Rock Mountain Bible Camp. We believe this ministry and what you do is so important that I have other clergymen at churches the day that we are getting on the bus, and as a director, this kills me, going into the store and saying, what are you doing this summer? You want to go to camp? And they get here and I'm just like, why don't you have any clothes? Why don't you have any toothpaste? Why don't you have this? Oh, they just asked me if I wanted to go to camp and I said yes, and here I am. I'm like, what? I used to have to pack clothes, toothpaste, all kinds of things because I never knew who was coming off the bus. I used to go to John Goodnow when he was here and was like, I'm sorry, sir. I know I said I was only going to have 50, but can you tell Joe to make it 60? We need no more cookies. But you all took it in stride. You have an opportunity to love people because the gospel is that important. And it has these aspects and these dimensions to it. And that's what's so important. So what I want you to leave with this is knowing that, and I was looking at this target when I came in here, that if Jesus has come, and if this is your heart, and the Lord has come inside your heart, and his Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, is indwelling Holy Spirit, has begun to renovate you, has begun his process of molding you, then there should be something that happens that has an impact on everything else around it. It should impact your friends here, your family back home, your schools, where you're traveling, where you might be vacationing, where you go after this camp is over 10 years from now. It should have a huge impact because that's what the gospel is. If we just say the gospel is just this part here, me and Jesus, then all this other stuff is a waste of time. Just a waste. Paul says, no, it's not a waste. This is what you're striving for. This is what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel. It means that all these other things come into play. All these other things come into play and are that important. That's why he says here, and I'll close with this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship, this is in chapter 2 of Philippians, if any fellowship with his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy by complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, here it is, consider others better than yourself. I haven't worked here, but I know something about like you greater than I, something like that, right? Right? Fuse, something like that. I picked up enough stuff to know, have an idea what this is like. Consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others. Uh-oh, that sounds like the gospel. Me and Jesus and loving our neighbors. Why can this happen? Why can we do this? Oh, because of Christ Jesus. That's what he says. Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness and being found in appearance like as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to a place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, and every time you see a therefore, in verse 12, you have to ask, what's it there for? Therefore. Because of everything from verse 27 of chapter 1 about the faith of the gospel and living lives worthy of gospel, because this gospel that's vertical and horizontal, therefore you, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. Not that you're working for your salvation, but God is working out your salvation through you in order that this cross-shaped gospel might have a huge impact. It's my prayer and it's my hope that this summer might be the most impactful summer there is. You are going to be showing love in ways you never had to before. You're going to have to wear masks. You're going to have to be distanced. You're going to have to be disciplined. You're going to have to be all these things that, like, you may have been like, oh, yeah, whatever. But now I'm really having to show way more love. Because perhaps someone's life is depending on it. This is the way that God has called us. This is what he has called you to be an authentic Christian. Don't ever forget, you may not know what it means that you need to have a basketball that's 29.5 inches, size 7, made of Heronwood leather to be an authentic basketball. You may not know that a coach purse must have those C's touching. It must have a zipper that has YKK on it. And if it's big enough, there's a serial number on the inside to tell if it's authentic. But I want you to know and to never forget that if you are an authentic Christian, that you know that the gospel is more than just the fact that Jesus has come and saved me, but the fact that I have to love my neighbor and I have to have an impact for the kingdom of God wherever he has placed me. That's what it means to be for real. That's what it means to be a real and authentic and a genuine Christian. You may not see it, but the Spirit of God has put a check mark on you, a little star, and verified you when you are doing those things because of what God's Spirit is doing in you. Let the Spirit have his work in your life this summer and for the rest of your life. And watch how God will work and bless and be glorified. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am so thankful that you have called these young people to work and to serve for you. I am praying right now over each and every one of them that, Lord, that you might help them to realize that their relationship with you is so important that it should have an impact on everything that they say and do and how they treat others and how they live their lives. That wherever they go, people will know that the Lord has been there because they are working there. Lord, encourage them. Strengthen them because they will face opposition. They will face long days and long nights. They'll face trials and suffering. But know that their Lord has as well. And may they be confident that as they live lives worthy of the gospel, fighting for the faith of the gospel, that one day they too will see you face to face and be able to experience in all of its glory the true reality of their salvation and the new heavens and the new earth. And we beg all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.